Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
All right, welcome to another episode of Fathers of the Grind. I am coming to you live, well, not really live, but I'm recording from my basement. So I've been downgraded to my recording spot in the basement, trying to get away from family noises. My name is Tim Nestor. I'm here with Derek Teague, who is recording, where, on the roof to get away from noises? I forget where you said you were.
Yeah, I had to go on the roof to get away from the fighting cats that we had last week, in case anybody heard. They're gonna be
a regular segment on our show.
Well, they weren't happy with Tim's opinion about video games.
Right.
So
they're gonna hate it this week too. Yeah, they're gonna be real mad. So
imagine so.
We are recording here on a Saturday night, and we're getting close to football season, so I'm getting really excited. This is my favorite time of year. Not August, but it's building up to my favorite time of year. September, October, November. I love this season.
Let me share this real quick, because I thought this was pretty pathetic. This is how pathetic I've become. So I pick up my daughter last night from, she was babysitting. It was like 11:30 at night. And so she's like, we're riding back, and my daughter's kind of like me, so she's not actually really social. So she doesn't like to talk. She likes to do her headphones and all that type of stuff. But she was actually in the mood to talk, so I took advantage of this time. So I started asking questions like, hey, how did it go with the kids, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, you know, I'll try to make the story quick. But basically they were fighting because they wanted to watch different things. And the young boy wanted to watch football. And she says, Dad, there isn't any football on. I was like, correct, there's no football on. And then I thought about it. I was like, wait, what's today? And I was like, oh, this is Friday night, by the way.
Right,
so I was like,
right.
That's August 12th. Holy crap, I bet you preseason football started already. And I haven't even noticed. Like, I haven't paid attention to a lick. I have no idea what's going on. Which I'm just sharing that because I find that to be pathetic. Because
why is that pathetic?
Because I used to be... Like, I used to count down the hours until football started, even preseason.
So you feel like you're a bad fan this year, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I just don't even care anymore.
Oh,
that's
no.
Pathetic.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Dude, I care so much. I'm so excited. I love when football season comes back. I wish I loved baseball. So this is not a knock on baseball. I've just never found it to be an interesting sport. But I am actually legitimately jealous of people who love it and can't wait for it and know how to follow the games and the stats and all that. I wish I could follow baseball. But to me, it's one of the most boring sports to watch.
Yeah.
And so the Olympics are interesting, so I'm enjoying those. And the years where we have the World Cup, I like that. But other than those, every 4 years events, really every 2 years if they alternate, but other than those events, I hate summer sports. There's nothing that catches my attention. And so from the NFL draft until late July when training camp starts for the NFL, I'm just sitting there on Sunday afternoons especially, and Saturdays, you know, waiting for college football, just really bummed out, searching ESPN and CBS Sports for news, headlines of some kind. Give me a roster update, something. So I'm excited. And I'm watching this this HBO series called Hard Knocks. You ever watch that show?
Is that the one with Rock, or is this like a reality show?
No, I forget the name of that one. That's where he's a sports agent, I think.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking you were bringing that up, but no. Okay.
This is the documentary series that follows the NFL team every year through their training camp. And it's amazing. It's beautifully done. If you like the NFL, and if you like documentary-style things, it's a show. It's an hour-long episode. I think there's only 5 episodes. They could follow them for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It follows the rookies as they come into camp and their experiences, and you get behind the scenes into the team meetings and how the coaches handle things and when they release a player, and it's so interesting. I love it.
I wouldn't mind watching that.
Yeah, it's really good, and it's narrated by Liev Schreiber, who's got an awesome voice for narrating.
I do like Liev. I will say this. I am fully aware when Michigan football starts because I do have on Facebook. I didn't
Big Ten.
I didn't unfollow Michigan football, so that's about the only post I see every day, and it's just a countdown. So today was 21 days until Michigan football, but I just thought it was pathetic as somebody who's
it's
been
not
a hardcore
pathetic. You're just an old man. It's fine.
NFL
it's fine.
Fan or football fan in general. The fact that I don't know. I just completely ignored the fact that
you let yourself down. Is what you're saying?
NFL exists right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm actually a Penn State fan in college football, and so I usually don't care for Michigan, but this season I'd love to see Harbaugh run all over Ohio State, especially. That'd be awesome. And really all the other teams, it'd be great. Harbaugh cracks me up. He's a cartoon character.
Yeah, you either hate him or you like him. Of course, obviously, I like him, but I can totally see why people hate him.
Yeah. Well, I am a 49ers fan, for better or worse. Same thing with Penn State, for better or worse. And so I do like Harbaugh, even with all his weird quirks and idiosyncrasies. I like that guy. The guy knows how to coach.
He does. So I thought he was a genius for the little bit of time he was in San Francisco as far as some of the decisions he made.
Well, he took a team that was pretty much the same team and was failing and turned them into an NFC championship game contender pretty much every season except for their last season. And that was because his owner was pulling the rug out from underneath him that whole year.
Yeah.
So, of course, he did poorly that year. But anyway, we digress. It's not NFL talk, fathers of the NFL. It's not that. But I am excited. I love this season of the year. And it also means less lawn mowing. Let me just tell you something. I used to love mowing. I used to love it. We lived in Ohio, and for all of Ohio's faults and for as incredibly boring as the entire Midwest can be as you drive through it, they have beautiful yards for the most part. Like, you don't have to do much work, and you've got a pretty decent green full yard. You have to treat it if you want to get the weeds out, but it's a decent yard. Here in Colorado, I've discovered quickly that if you don't intentionally plant and treat every inch of your yard, it'll turn into this sandy, rocky, weedy mess. And so this house that we're renting, they never took care of it. I don't think this yard has ever been taken care of. It is literally like feet and feet of sand, so the kids love it, but it's just weeds and really hard, like thick, like tough weeds, and they grow really fast. I hate mowing. So I mowed today. And
do
I
you
took
push
a old
mow? Is that why? Or
I do. I do, but I have to because of the slopes in our yard. It's like we're kind of on a hill. And so, and the way, if I did a riding lawnmower, I would wreck the thing because I'm going over so many little pieces of bushes and stuff. So I have to wear a T-shirt around my face, like wear it like a bandana, like I'm going to rob an old train in the old West. Like, I have to cover my face and wear sunglasses because the cloud of dust that surrounds me as I mow is ridiculous. I hate mowing, and I used to love it. So I am excited that fall season's coming. That means that these weeds hopefully will stop growing, and I don't have to do this anymore. I hate
it. See, I'm the opposite. I have a big yard, and so I have a riding mower that's kind of like, and I'm not exaggerating, it's like riding like a Mario Kart. It's really fast and takes
quick turns. Is it a zero
turn
thing?
Yeah. So
yeah, I love those.
You got like basically what I consider like two joysticks, and you just
you
push back on one while pushing forward on the other one.
When I first drove that, I had no idea what I was doing. But once you figure it out, you're right. That thing controls beautifully. That's
great. And it goes super fast, so I'm like flying around. So I just pretend like I'm playing Mario Kart and I throw turtles.
But do you guys have nice grass still? Is your yard decent? I mean, you're down in Florida, and so it has potential to dry up, I would imagine, but.
It's not bad at all. I mean, it's not perfect. It's not something you would see on a commercial, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's
no,
not
ours is shameful. But but the kids do like, I mean, we cleared out. We pulled a ton of it. So there's a huge sandy area, and it's basically like a beach with no water. So they like to go down there and just play and dig and whatever. So that part of it's fine, but the rest of the yard is useless. So hopefully in the next year or so, we'll be able to buy
up,
a place. Oh, no, we're going to buy. We're going to get out of this rental at some point. But
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Start with a totally different yard. That's
exactly
not god awful.
Yeah, you know what? That yard is TGT. It is
trash,
complete
garbage,
complete TGT.
Speaking of TGT, we are going to be TGTing all night. I can tell you that right now. That's foreshadowing, people. There's gonna be so much.
There's gonna
TGT.
Be a lot of TGT. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of trash, garbage, trash games. Tell me about not only what you're playing, but I'm curious, what is your family playing? We're coming to the end of the summer, and I think both of us have had some time to spend with family, spend time with our kids. We've talked about this a little bit before, but as we're winding down from summertime and heading into school season, and all parents rejoiced, what kind of things are you guys playing, or what things are your kids playing, I suppose, as they count down the days left in summer?
Well, by kids, I would really just say kid. I mean, Eli's the only one that games. Emily just plays on her phone. I don't know if she even really plays games on her phone. I think it's more just texting and Snapchatting and all that. And then Ian and I, we still watch Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's what I was doing tonight before we started recording. And then for the summer, lately, Eli's been playing a lot of Rocket League. I know this because when I'll log in, my car's changed. To something ugly and stupid. But he's been playing a lot of Rocket League. And then he was the main player in Ratchet and Clank. And then I kind of took over that. Which,
it gets tough towards the end, yeah.
Yeah. The funny thing is, and I'm going to go ahead and go into games that I've been playing. I had the whole week off from work, and we didn't really do that much. I mean, I went to a concert and went to go see a couple movies, but overall, we spent a lot of home time because we got a lake and the kids were swimming. So when they're swimming, I get a lot of gaming time because the wife's at work, the kids are, they're entertained, they're not fighting, they're not causing problems for me, so I can just go and lock myself in a room.
Yeah, from what I've seen from some of your posts in our group, by the way, we're on Facebook, Fathers of the Grind, you guys should join it if you haven't yet. I have seen, it feels like, just from knowing you and kind of seeing what you play and talking to you every week, I feel like you may have had the most successful week in terms of games you've completed for of the whole year.
Probably, and you know, and I'll run through them real quick, but I was really just happy because a lot of them were backlog, or for me, they were backlog. And some of them were games that, to be quite honest, I never thought I was going to finish. So I'll just start off with what I started. I played a lot of Gears 2 with Jesse. And so I think the first day of my vacation, it was like a Saturday morning, I saw Jesse was on. I was like, hey, I'm in the final act. You want to finish it? So we logged on together and we knocked out Gears 2 on Saturday. Nice. From there, I went to, and this was a surprise, and this was a lot to, I'm going to give credit to the group, Fathers of the Grind group. A lot of people were talking up Doom, and it kind of got me going, well, maybe I should jump back into it. Because the thing is with Doom, when I first started playing it, there was no hate for it. Like, I wasn't like, oh, it's kind of boring. There was nothing like that.
You told me you liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as I started playing, I was like, this plays amazing. It's so entertaining. So what caused me to get away from it? I would say probably just I'm not a big fan of, like, hell and demons and stuff like that. So I wasn't, like, really sucked into the world, and so it was easy for me to go, well, it's fun, but I'm out. Like, I didn't think I would beat it. But everybody
Didn't you get distracted by, like, either Uncharted 4 or Dark Souls 3 or something?
I feel it's like something probably. It was probably Dark Souls 3 because they came out... came out in May, and I think I was replaying Dark Souls 3, and the Game of the Century came out that month as well, Battleborn, so you know that.
You and Sasan, your favorite game ever.
Oh, Sasan freaking loves it. You know what's annoying is every time I log on to PlayStation, I swear he's like stalking me, because I'll get like a message, Battleborn, ? And I'm like, dude, leave me alone. I'm trying to play Doom. But anyway, so I got back into Doom. That's the point of the story. And yeah, I got to say,
we're getting there, folks. We're getting
and
there.
I'm going to say this. This is legit. I know people make fun of me, and I've kind of made it into my own personal joke. It is a Game of the Year contender. I'm not saying it'll win, but it's worthy. That's all I'm saying.
I would not be surprised at all if several people in our group, of course, as well as just like in the general gaming community, would pick it as their game of the year. There's a lot of love.
If you love first person shooters, to me mechanically, and I would say Halo 5 is pretty close as far as Halo 5 is very smooth. Like, I just recently played it for a couple hours with Rob and Jesse. We played it probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was like, oh man, I forgot how smooth Halo 5 was. And so when I jumped into Doom, they both are very, very much, they play the same. I would say Doom's a little bit more fun just because it's I don't know, it's real intense. You just got to play it. It's very violent, it's very intense.
I wrote it off a while ago because it was so violent, and like you said, the settings, it's not like I'm offended by it. I have no problem with it being set. I just wasn't interested in it. But I'm kind of like you. I feel like I've been swayed by the opinions of people in the group that I typically agree with. So I'm like, if they love this game this much, I really should give it a try. I definitely will. I promise that I will. Doom is one, unlike a game like Dark Souls 3, that I will actually try and play for a little while. So.
All right, we'll give it a shot and then give us feedback on future episodes. But I was shocked by how much I loved it, to the point where I can actually go back and play levels and keep upgrading my character. I would like to do it, especially since I've been replaying games a lot, so it might be something I do.
Us the other games that you've finished off.
Yeah, some of the other ones, and keep in mind, most of these games, except for Gears 2, I had already at least started. So Far Cry Primal, I was probably halfway through. I went ahead and came back and finished it. That was one I've always wanted to just finish. I like finishing all the Far Cry games, so, and I always take a long time to do it. So I was really happy I got back to that one. Overall, enjoyed it, but I did, when I first started Primal, and I remember that I said this to you, and I think I said it on our show, that I liked Primal more than Far Cry 3 and 4. That is false. By the end of it, I was like, I need a gun.
You want your guns back.
Yeah, I want my guns back. I did enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but I definitely like open world with a gun, which is part of why I went back to play Homefront, The Revolution. So I also finished that.
Which I kept calling Homeward Bound.
Homeward Bound. Oh, yeah, I forgot to read that off. We all fun, know who did the notes.
The fun movie starring Chance the dog and his friend Shadow.
I was like, at first I read that, you know, people that don't listen, Tim wrote the notes today, or for this week, and he put games I'm playing, Homeward Bound or something like that, and I was like, I don't know. Oh, Homefront. Okay. And then I got what he was doing. But yeah, I went back and played Homefront. I want to give like a little small review before we just move on. Nothing
here
big.
You go, folks. Here is the official Fathers of the Grind review of Homefront The Revolution. This is why it's official, because I'll never play it. And so Derek needs to give the official review.
Okay, so this is a certified TGT game. No doubt about it.
Wow.
The acting, voice acting, the character animations, absolute garbage, trash, 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 garbage, trash.
Oh, man.
It's just really, really bad.
Okay.
The gameplay is, for a shooter, and this is a first-person shooter game, is average at best.
Oh, boy.
But I'm going to tell you, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I don't understand it. I wouldn't give it more than a 6 or a 6.5 at best.
My goodness.
But I liked it, and I enjoyed playing it. I wasn't ever like, there was a time, and I even made a post where I was like, should I press through and play this? Because my brain knew, like, I guess my objective side knew, you are playing a garbage game. Yeah. Why not play something else? Why are you going to waste another 10, 12 hours, whatever it was going to take me, to finish this game? And part of the reason why I wanted to finish it is I knew I was trading it in this week. I was going to go to GameStop and trade it in. So I was like, well, let's just try to beat it, then trade it in. But I ended up enjoying it. So
what's one unique thing that they do in Homefront that you would say you don't see in many other games like that? Is there anything unique that stands out to you as, this is probably why I enjoyed it?
No, nothing's unique. It's like a poor man's Far Cry. It's not really open world. It's open area, because there's like load screens between certain areas.
Right.
So and the areas are pretty big, but it's not even Far Cry level of quality when it comes to the world. They just don't do anything really good. Now the one thing that I did enjoy like capturing like hideouts and stuff like that, because they kind of, some of the puzzles to solve them, because you have to figure out how to get into the building, were pretty they were well thought out. I even remember saying it a few times, going, you know what? This was well thought out. They could have just been like, run in, shoot a few guys, and just take over. But they actually made you like look around, use other buildings, jump from building to building to get into a building. They did a good job with that. But that's
so
about
they
it.
Were
Everything
thoughtful
else is
in
crap.
Some of the game design, but maybe not as thoughtful in terms of the visuals and the story and character stuff like that.
Well,
but thoughtful
that's
in
the
game.
Like when you're playing the game, it's not a bad looking game. It's when you're like in a cutscene, or if you walk up to a character and you actually just look at them, you realize it's ugly. But the actual world, and when you're running around, it looks good. It's not an ugly game. It's kind of funny like that. It's just one of those where they're not very good at the details, but they're good at making it look good from far away. So anyways, I finished that
one. Give me a score, since you announced this is going to be an official review. Like, let's say we had to do a 0 to 10 score on this game. What do you give it?
5.99999 for affinity.
So it's got to be 6 and above, right, to not be TGT?
Yeah, it definitely has to be TGT, so it's not going to be a 6.
Gotcha. I know there's one more that you played, and this is probably one of the most beautiful games that came out this year on any platform. So tell us, what was the other game that you finished this week?
Well, and this one's another surprise. Like, so to me, this was a week of surprises. Was I was looking through my games after I beat Homefront. I was like, what do you want to play next? And I tried a few other games. They didn't click. And then I was like, well, let's just jump into Ratchet and Clank. And yes. I started playing yes. it. And now I had played Ratchet and Clank when it first launched. And I was like, right. oh, this is cool. Yeah. But it wasn't, it's not my style of game. So I more bought it for my son and even for you to play. And then,
by the way, we loved it. I loved it. My kids loved it.
Yeah.
Amazing game.
Yeah, but it was one of those where I was like, why did you buy it? Why didn't you let Tim buy it? Like, yeah. You didn't really care yeah. about it. Why did you buy it? But I
wasn't mad about that.
Actually
yeah.
glad I bought it because I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was yeah. really fun. I fell in love with literally, here's the best part about this. So you get all these guns in the game, and I had probably a total by the end of the game, probably around 15 to 20. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, you have a lot of guns, and you can upgrade all of them with unique, exactly. unique things. Yeah.
And every gun I liked. Like, yeah, me too. It wasn't like I would get a gun and be like, oh, this is trash.
Yeah. But what was your go-to, liked, though? What was your go-to gun? When you get to a room filled with enemies, they're all coming at you. You got the floating robots.
Oh,
you got the guys shooting fire at you.
Sheepinator is the one that I got towards the end that I really liked.
You know what we did? We did like a crowd control. So we would throw that dancing disco ball up there first,
yeah.
and then we just go through and start flamethrowing yeah. all of them. So we would throw a disco ball up, make them all dance, and then just walk through. I had my flamethrower upgraded real early, so it was super powerful, and we would just burn everything. And my kids loved that because every single character in the game, every enemy, whether they're a major boss or whether they're a little minion, they all have dance moves, unique dance moves. And it is hilarious. It's got that real classic cartoon charm to it. It's really
yeah.
great.
Absolutely, I'm a huge fan. Anything Ratchet and Clank, I'm definitely gonna buy it in the future. And instead yep. of being like, oh, I bought it for Eli, no. buying it for me. And
I cannot wait for the next one. I can't.
Yeah,
wait
it was complete quality. If I see somebody saying, like in the past, if somebody would have said Ratchet and Clank's a Game of the Year contender, I would have flipped them off or yelled at them in my head. Now I could go, okay, I get it.
It'll be on my list at the end of the year. It might slide down the list, like might be down towards the 10th place or something, but it's going to be in consideration for me. Just
I would
so
imagine, unless, and I've got a lot of games that I'm getting in the fall that I'm excited for.
Right.
But unless, it just hasn't been that strong of a year, I can see Ratchet and Clank and Doom definitely making my top 10 out of those games that I beat.
Yeah.
Primal, yep. probably not. Homefront, definitely not. And Gears 2 is not a new game, so.
But
Doom,
you said Doom
it.
And Ratchet and Clank, yeah.
Yeah, but those two out of the five, I think could be top 10 contenders.
Nice, man. You've been busy, but it's been vacation week for you, so you've been able to be busy. I have not been on vacation this week. Actually, I've had a. It wasn't an overly busy work week, but it certainly was a full week of work
mm-hmm.
and family stuff. Our kids are in karate now, so that's two nights a week now that we're out and about. And so I haven't had a ton of time to game. Actually, my wife and I have gotten hooked on, or she was already hooked on Survivor. And she recently got me to start watching Survivor, which I've always scoffed at. I don't care about it.
Yeah.
But it's a combination of two things. Number one, it gives us something to watch, and we like having, hey, let's watch another episode or two tonight. But number two, it's something that she really, really likes. And so it was easy for me to get into it. At first, I watched it just because I was like, you know, I've made you watch plenty of movies and shows in our years of being together. I'll go ahead and cave. I'll concede and let you pick what we watch next now that we've wrapped up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm actually really into it. Like, I'll admit it. I have bought in hook, line, and sinker to the reality TV hook of Survivor. I can see why it's so popular. So I've been doing a lot of that and family stuff and work stuff. And so my gaming time has been lower. But we have still been playing a lot of Pokemon Go as a family. Like, we are totally addicted to that game. It's on both of our phones. We haven't quit. A lot of people that I know have uninstalled it or just played a little bit less. But we're still playing, and I'm still seeing people out in public playing. You know, if we go for a family walk or if my wife or I, we try to take turns going out for a run. We're going to try to do we're doing a 5K in October, so we're both trying to build up to this 5K run. And so we'll take turns, but we both take our phones and have Pokemon Go on so we can get those kilometers tracked towards hatching the next egg. So we are super into that game. I love that. But I've already talked about Pokemon Go. As a family, things that my family and my kids are playing, we started playing through that free game on Xbox Live, on Xbox One, Tumblestone.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really fun little puzzle game. it belongs on a phone or a Vita. Like, it's not really the kind of game that you would think you'd play on a TV. But it works well because all of my kids like to play it, and the puzzles get really hard really quickly, and they like to help try to figure out the order in which to get rid of these little stones to remove them from the screen. It's kind of like Dr. Mario upside down. That's the best thing I would describe it as. And instead of adding things to the screen, you're trying to pull them away in the right order. It's kind of interesting. Solid game if you guys like puzzle games. And we've been playing through Ori and the Blind Forest. I've given them each a turn at playing it, but other than my oldest son, Kale, the other ones have a hard time with it just because the difficulty is pretty high. They love watching it. It's just captivating.
Did you put it on easy, though, to see if they could play it on easy? I was thinking about doing that with Eli.
You know, I didn't, and I should, because I just upgraded to the, what's it called? The Definitive
Edition.
Yeah, I just upgraded on Xbox One. If you own it, you can upgrade for $5 extra. Mm-hmm. So I just did that, and I haven't thought about that yet. That's a good call. I should do that.
I would do that, because
at least give him another shot a little bit easier.
Because Eli and I'm trying to game more with Eli, because I definitely think he's, out of the three kids I got, he's the one that's going to end up being a mini-me.
Yeah.
So hopefully he won't be as poor terrible kid as me, but yeah.
Poor
but,
kid.
I definitely think he's on the road to being a gamer, so I wouldn't mind to give him an experience with Ori. I think he'll think it's cool, like Ratchet. It's got that beautiful artistic and coloring and all that. I think he'd like it.
Yeah, so we had started that playthrough, and then after that, I had upgraded to Definitive Edition, but we actually haven't jumped back in since I upgraded, so I do need to... That's a good idea, though, to let them give it a shot on easier mode. But for me personally, I've been playing through... I've jumped back into Axiom Verge, which I spent money on, and I feel the need to beat it, and I want to be able to come back with a real opinion on it. I've already got an opinion on it from before, that is, hey, it's pretty good. It's not great, but it's pretty good. But now that I'm farther into the game, I'm playing it on Vita, kind of as I lay in bed and get ready to fall asleep. I knock out a few, it's not really levels, but I advance a little bit in the game. I like it, but it's not until I finish it can I give you my full thoughts on it. It is definitely a complete Metroid ripoff, and that's not necessarily a bad thing if you like Metroid. But it's not as amazing as it was made out to be. I do think it's one of the more overrated games from last year. It is good, but man,
was overrated because people were starving for a Metroid S type game, like the 2D platformer shooter?
Maybe. If you look at it objectively as just a video game, then it's a very solid game. And I would recommend it if you like Metroidvania old school style games. But I think the reason it was really praised like it was is because it was made by one guy. Like every part of that game. Like the graphics, the writing, the combat, the movement, the music, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure this one guy did all of it.
I think he did everything.
That's a big reason I think that it got so much love, and that in and of itself is admirable. But as a game in and of itself, it's good, it's solid, it's not amazing though. So I also started playing through Watch Dogs. As you reminded me, I told you that that's something I would try this summer. And I feel the same way about that as you described about Primal. And that is, I've played other games like it. I do enjoy it, but I'd prefer an Assassin's Creed set in modern day where I can scale the buildings and have my Assassin's Creed tool set to the hacking tool set. So I like it, but I don't love it. Yeah.
How far did you get? Like, how many hours do you think you played?
I am in Act 3 of 5. And I think the last act, I think, is just a single mission. I'm guessing that's the final boss fight. So, I'm about halfway through. Oh, I'm not going to stop. I'll keep playing it. But right now, I'm being distracted by the game we're going to spend some time talking about.
Yeah. Well, part of the show I can't wait for.
I know. You wanted to get all your thoughts in before this because, you know, it's all over now.
Yeah, I'm basically going to do, for all the listeners who hate when I talk, which there's actually a lot of them, I'll do all the talking now, but later in the show you won't hear much unless I'm like, trash over trash.
So the other game I'm playing is No Man's Sky, and it is a game I've been waiting for a while. My wife just walked in the room and gave me a thumbs down about it. She's not a big fan, but I... love.
I would like to know what your wife thinks of the game. Does she just look at it the way I actually want to hear her thoughts, because I bet you she looks at it the same way I do, and that's like, this is stupid. Like, this is
she thought it looked boring. Like, she's peeked in on me playing games from time to time, And she thought, I mean, I could tell the look of it kind of interested her because it's so colorful and dreamlike.
Yeah.
But then as she noticed what I was doing, I was kind of breaking down these things for rocks, and I was exploring, and I was scanning these animals to make money by uploading them to the server or whatever. And she just kind of goes, this looks boring. Like, that was her thought. But she was, what I did was I said, hang on, let me just show you the scope of this. Like, you don't have to think it's fun. Like, you can still think it's boring, but you got to see the scope of this. So I jumped in my ship. I flew up into space, and then I opened up the galactic map where you can fly through the stars and pick a place to land. I still don't know where that thing ends. You can go forward and even hit a button to accelerate as you're flying through your map to find the next place you want to set your waypoint. Every little star on your galactic map is a cluster of planets and moons you can go visit and discover. Every single dot of light. And so I would, like, my kids would go up to the screen. I'll say, pick a star, any of them. And to them, they're thinking this is background. Like, it's a background screen or background image, like in most games. But as they watch me actually zoom in and get closer to this tiny speck that they pointed out, and now it's a cluster of planets. It's a little galaxy of 5 or 6 planets, sometimes one planet, that I can go to, visit. I can name it. I can discover anywhere from 1 up to 15 or 20 species of animals. You can scan plants, but all that does is make you money. It's not fun to do that part. But you can, what you do is you scan things on those planets, and then you upload it to the server. You can name it if you want to, or you can leave the name. And then
Apparently, I'm in the game. Apparently, I'm in the game.
Yeah, our buddy Jose added you to the game right away. Like, first thing he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right, so let me back up a little bit. So No Man's Sky, I know it was a highly anticipated game. Many had huge doubts and kind of already hated it before it came out because it just took too long and it was too much hype.
Yeah.
Many had way overblown expectations of what this thing would be. And then many others, and I like to think I'm part of this category, were still excited to try something new, knowing that this wouldn't be a world-changing game, but they were excited to try it. And that's kind of the category that I fell in. I was excited for it. I don't know if I'd use the word hyped, but I was definitely really excited for it. It actually, with those expectations going in, it's exceeded those expectations. I did not think I would get this weird hook in me with this game. So when you start No Man's Sky, you're on this, you're basically stuck on this planet. Your spaceship is busted, and you have to collect some resources to get it working again. So my first thought was, if this is what this is going to be, okay, I can see why some people might like it. And everyone started calling it Space Minecraft right out of the gate. Not just you, everybody. And I started thinking, is it? Like, am I really just going to be collecting resources and building stuff? Like, do I have to build the fun here? And I thought, this is not going to be fun. Now, keep in mind, I've played maybe 60, 70 minutes of Minecraft and put it down. So I don't know. Maybe out of the box, Minecraft has some really cool things to discover.
Survival mode in Minecraft.
But I always thought Minecraft was all about you build it. Like, you...
You do build it, but there is a survival aspect to it. Like, there's stuff that you need because there's zombies that can come kill you.
Right.
But there's some unique stuff to it that kind of reminds me of No Man's Sky. Like, I mean, they're still different, which is what I think you're trying to get at, where your goal in No Man's Sky, and you're going to know more about this than me, which is, we'll talk about it in a second, but I will say this. The goal is to get to the center of the universe, and then you're still, it's really just exploration. Like,
it is, but here's the difference, though. Here's the difference. It's discovery. So the thing with Minecraft, that right out of the gate, at least, I loved Shark Week. Come on, man. But the discovery, it's not about building. So I'm not out there building a planet. And I know eventually they're supposedly supposed to add this ability to build your own. I don't know if it's space stations, but it's definitely some kind of fortress or habitat on planets that you've discovered and kind of claimed as your own. I've heard there's some things in the works about building, like, your own. Not forts. I can't think of the right word.
There's a ton of stuff they could do with this game.
Yeah, so that is in the works. But for right now, I simply feel like a visitor in this world that someone put together. And I know a lot of it's procedurally generated. And you can tell that. I'll get to that in a minute. But I am simply experiencing something other people built, or this formula, this program that they created built. And I don't have to do any work. I'm just discovering it. And then I can label it. I can name it whatever I want. Like, I named a whole star cluster after our family, and there's 6 planets in there. So each kid got their own planet. They got to name their animals. Like one of the planets is a really snowy planet with ice storms, and you have to hide in this cave if you're too far from your ship when an ice storm hits, or you're going to die pretty quickly. Another planet is toxic with tons of water, so you have to swim way down under the water to discover things. So each planet is very different and unique. At first it wasn't that way. So when it first came out, my first night with it, I spent about an hour and a half, 2 hours with it. It took way too long to find the resources I needed to get my ship in working order. That took a little too long for me, and I was already starting to kind of go, I don't know. And, you know, I shot down a couple of the robots, and I thought, wow, this really doesn't shoot very well. I'm not sure about this game. And it wasn't until I hit my fourth or fifth planet when things started to change up. Some of the robots acted differently. I started to meet a few aliens, but I didn't know their language until I discovered you have to actually explore that planet and find these knowledge stones to learn their language one word at a time. So next time you go back to them, you've learned the word isotope, for example, which seems kind of bizarre. But then when he's talking to you, you realize he's asking you for an isotope. And that gives you an idea of what to give him from your inventory. And then he gets happy and gives you back some kind of new item or something. So you start to discover that this game is giving you all these tools to succeed, but it makes you feel like you discovered it, even though the game there's a formula to it. You know, the formula is arrive on a planet, discover some waypoints, mine some stuff that you might need, scan plants and animals, try to survive if the robots or animals there are mean. Like I landed on one planet and all these dinosaur-sized things were standing over my ship and I was terrified. And then my kids were watching with me. I was like, oh, great. But they're all herbivores. And so all I had to do was, you know, walk past them and scan them. And then, of course, there's raptor-looking things that tried to kill me. There's this one weird-looking cow that I thought looked like a grazer that just charged at me and tried to eat me. So it's all very Star Wars-y, Star Trek-y, exciting and new. You never know what each planet's going to bring. So that right now for me is the hook. The hook is there's a new planet. It says undiscovered. I'm going to go see what that planet's all about. There's going to be, you know, I can continue learning this alien race language. My ship is almost ready to be upgraded. You can always uncover new quote-unquote recipes. That part's kind of like Minecraft, where you collect resources to fill out these recipes that will then upgrade your gun, upgrade your exosuit, upgrade your ship. One of the first moments that I felt kind of panicked in this game is when I had just loaded up on tons of really valuable resources. I had found this planet that had all these cubes that I had collected and some kind of special purple mineral that I hadn't found before. And so I had a ton of valuable stuff in my ship, and I was heading back to the space station to sell it. And all of a sudden, this warning came up as I'm flying through space, all calmly and peacefully, just relaxing. And it said, hey, hostile scan. I was like, what? And then it said, hostiles have detected valuable cargo. And I didn't know what that meant. And all of a sudden, these two ships popped out and started shooting at me. So they're scanning other ships. And if they see that you got something valuable, they'll start attacking you because they want to take it from you. And so that moment made me panic. But then I realized I've got, you know, laser beam and this pulse cannon on my ship that I just upgraded. And I took them both down. And that felt amazing. And so that's where I really started to get hooked into this living, breathing world that Hello Games has created in No Man's Sky. So that's my experience with it so far. About 5 days worth of playing. So far, I am not really interested in playing anything else.
How many hours would you say you've put in?
Probably about two a night. Like after everyone goes to bed, I log in a couple hours a night. Today I got to play probably four or five total throughout the day. You know, as the kids go outside to play, you know, my wife took a few to the store at one point. Even as they sat and watched me play, I probably, over the course of the day, 4 or 5 hours total. So I'm probably up to close to 10, maybe 12.
Okay.
Total. My ship is upgraded majorly. I've gotten a few upgrades to my gun. My exosuit inventory space is huge now, so I can carry a lot more stuff. That was a real issue when the game started. Like, wow, great, I can hold 8 things. This is not going to work for a game that's telling me to collect everything. But as you figure out how to manage that and upgrade your inventory space.
Yeah, but I think while you're in, you probably know this, but when you're out exploring, you can just send stuff from your suit to your ship.
Yeah, but your ship is very limited in space too.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was doing in the first couple hours. And it's funny, like, I was actually, for the first time, I think, what are we in, episode 32?
Yeah.
That's the first time I actually listened to you. And and so, as you're, like, explaining, you know, how you felt about the game when you first started, I was like, yep, that's how I felt. Yep, that's how I felt. But the difference is after 2 hours, you kept going, and the experience got better for you. I literally deleted it. I was like, this is just not a game for me. Like, yeah. it's making me angry. And it's one of those, and I'll admit it, I'm like, ugh, the people saying they like it are just saying they liked it because they've hyped it and they don't want to admit it's trash. Like, yeah. I was basically thinking exactly what Frank Clark was writing on every post about No Man's Sky. You guys just won't admit it's garbage. You know it's garbage. And I'm thinking, yeah they just won't admit it.
Yeah, I would tell you. I would tell you, I would tell our listeners if it was a disappointment. Because I've done that before.
So. Well, you know what, and I'll share my experience. I won't go on as long as you, and that's not a knock on you. I'm just saying my experience.
Message received, whatever.
Could you please explain No Man's Sky in 3 words or less, Tim, please? But I will say this. My biggest issue was, and it's probably because I only explored 2 planets, but the 2 planets I explored looked exactly the same. They were, like, very purplish, very toxic, so they weren't pretty at all. And as I looked at the surface, I was like, am I running on, like, PlayStation 2 graphics as far as, like, the surface?
Yeah.
Obviously, like, the plants and stuff looked better. But, like, the ground had no, like, wavy grass or anything that looked
semi-detailed. Yeah, it's almost like solid polygons for the ground.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
It just looked terrible. Yeah. And so I'm running around real slow, by the way, you know, and yes, Jose, I know there's a run button, but it was still slow to my standards. And then
it doesn't last very long either. At the beginning, you can sprint for what, 20 feet before your guy gets tired,
yeah,
and it's a slow rebuild. And that's another thing that I just discovered. You can upgrade, of course. And that,
yeah,
and
so
your jetpack,
it sounds like, and these games aren't alike at all, but I'm just going to use it as an example and hopefully people will figure out where I'm going with this. No Man's Sky is probably a quality game once you get, obviously, better at it, but once you start unlocking things and your character becomes better. It's probably even with the shooting, like, because when I first shot the gun, I was like, oh, my God, this is the worst first-person shooter-style game.
Did you get the
ever.
Pulse style yet,
I just have the regular gun.
Just
like,
the laser?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that thing doesn't kill anything.
Exactly. So I was like, God, this is the worst game ever. Yeah. But the game I'm going to compare it to, and again, they're nothing alike, but here's the one thing they have in common. A lot of people, not a lot, but the people that did play The Crew hated the game, a lot of them, not all of them, because they played it wrong. The Crew purposely played terrible when you first played it. Like,
right.
When you would get your first car, it handled really bad. Because the game was more of an RPG than it was a racer.
Okay.
And so until you, like, upgraded your car or got a new car and you as the player, the driver, got better as a driver, then the game became more like a racer.
Okay.
Because you'd built yourself up. And
okay.
I'm not saying that No Man's Sky is going to become a first-person shooter or anything like that. But I think the game and the experience gets better as you, based off what you're saying, unlock and get more stuff.
Well, yeah, and
you
even
know,
the shooting
gear.
Improves because you get an add-on. So basically, each slot on your exosuit and ship can either hold an item, so like some resources, or you can install upgrades that you've learned the recipes to. Maybe you helped an alien out and he gave you one, or maybe you discovered some old abandoned building and in one of the chests inside you found, oh, there's this new pulse cannon upgrade that makes my reload super fast or whatever. So you discover all these recipes to upgrade your ship, upgrade your exosuit, and then, of course, with your gun, it's called the multi-tool, that gun, essentially. You can upgrade that as well. I've upgraded that 2 or 3 times now, and everything from now you can add this plasma launcher, which shoots these kind of, think like plasma grenades from Halo. It can launch those types of things, or you've got your pulse rifle, which at first was just kind of a really weak repeater style shooter. But it can be upgraded as well. You can upgrade it to a 3-shot burst style. You can upgrade the reload. You can upgrade the damage it does. The recoil can go down. All of a sudden, it was controlling a lot more smoothly. Now, don't get me wrong. The first-person shooting is still subpar compared to the top-notch shooters that are out there. But considering the fact that this game is not... I wouldn't qualify it as a first-person shooting game first.
No, it's not.
So
and that's why I said
the combat,
I don't want people to think that's where
the combat
going,
has
but.
Gotten a lot better. I don't think it's going to get much better than it is now. Now that I've learned how to upgrade stuff, I think now it's about as good as it's going to get. but it's certainly not as bad as some games I've played. So that part of it has gotten better. I will say that there's a few things I have discovered in the game that it didn't lead me to that I figured out that were so cool. So there was one planet I went to. I had to figure out some code. It was like this computer basically said, what's the next number in this code? It's basically like a math problem kind of a thing. I figured that out, answered it right. It gave me coordinates. It didn't tell me what it was for. I followed the coordinates. I found this abandoned ship that was almost completely destroyed that had a lot more storage space than mine. And I realized as I was playing around trying to figure out, do I destroy this ship? Do I take what's in it? What's the deal here? I could just fix it up, abandon my ship, and now this new one is my ship. And it's got a ton more inventory space. That kind of stuff can happen all the time. If you're in a space station and you see someone else's ship parked next to you, and I haven't run into another player, I mean NPCs here, you walk up to their spaceship, interact with it, you can buy stuff from them, sell stuff to them, or offer to buy their ship. And then if it's a nicer one, if you make them the right offer, they'll let you buy it. So pretty much it's one of those things that as you see anything in the world, you're like, wow, I can interact with that. That can be mine if I want it. If you see these giant space freighters floating out in space, you can open fire on them. And if you blow up their containment areas, a bunch of items will drop out because you just blew up their cargo. And then, of course, they'll send their little mini ships after you, and you got to fight them off. So you don't have to do any of that, though. You can just follow the path. They have a path on the map that says, hey, here's where to go to get to the center of the universe. Here's the next storyline objective, basically. I've ignored that for the most part. I think I've done 2 warps to where they tell me to go, and now I'm just kind of freelancing around, just dinking around for a little bit. And that is where the real fun, for me at least personally, is. If you are in it for the story, I wouldn't say it's... I mean, they give you a lot of text story, and there's some stuff there. Some of the lore is kind of interesting. But that's not really where my interest is at this moment.
See, that's the thing. Like, and this is just, again, my perspective, and I haven't played more than 2 hours. The game, first of all, let me show the differences between you and I. You like the whole, you even said, I'm okay with ignoring the story right now and just exploring.
I am right now, yeah.
I'm the opposite of that. Even in big world games, while I'll explore a little bit, I prefer to stay on task. And that's probably because, as you can see in my week off of work, I like finishing games. Like, I like getting through them and accomplishing it and getting it done. And if I like it a lot, play it again. If I don't, move on.
Yeah.
And the example I'll use is Fallout. With Fallout 4, I did the same thing. Fallout 4 and No Man's Sky probably have more in common than a lot of people realize.
Yeah, you're probably
It really
right.
is just a big world built on exploring. And you're collecting, you can literally almost collect everything in Fallout, and you can put it to use. You can use it to craft, or you can use it to add on to things. It doesn't really matter. It's all available. So that I prefer Fallout, and here's the main reason why. Fallout's gameplay to me is fun. Does it have the best first-person shooter gameplay in the world? No. It's actually pretty bad. But it's purposely bad. Like, they could make it like Doom if they wanted to, because they have the ability to bring in id Software-type guys and do that. But they don't, and they do it on purpose because they want an RPG, and they want you to use their VAT system.
Yeah.
VAT system, not VAP.
Right, which is where that's where the good feeling of the gameplay for most people who like the game comes in. And I would say that with No Man's Sky, the good feeling of the gameplay is, number one, flying your ship. Once you get a feel for that, I love the way that feels. And once you upgrade that laser especially, you can upgrade the intensity of it. And you're busting through rocks, you're busting through land, you're creating tunnels for yourself in some areas. That feels really good to me. And so I love the way the gameplay moves and feels. My jetpack's upgraded. My sprint is upgraded. I am loving the way it moves and feels at this point. And I'm totally with you. Like, even if a gameplay mechanic can get kind of repetitive, fly to the next planet now, explore and scan. Let's do this some more. You know, shoot down the robots. Oh, good, we upgraded something else. That gameplay loop in of itself can get really boring. But since the feel of it, the look and feel of it for me is really great at this point, that's why I feel so hooked on it. So I can totally understand the hook of a game like Fallout as well. You know, when it didn't get me, but I can totally see why it would get someone else.
So this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to first re-download the game and give it another shot. Doesn't mean I'll like it, but
I love that before the game had been out for like 5 hours, you had deleted it off your hard drive already.
Yeah. I was really upset with it. And I talked to a lot of people, not just you, but I talked to, like, I was... The night before it came out, I was playing Bloodborne with Matt and Moose, and I was like, they're excited for the game, and it seemed more like their style game as well. They're into that type of stuff. And, you know, and I was still like, hey, yeah, TGT stuff. I was thinking it. I just held back. But I appreciate you saying it for me.
No, listen, I and our listeners want your real thoughts on it. You don't have to pretend to like it.
No, I'm not going to pretend to like it. But so I try to go into it with a good attitude. Like, I even told them, I'm like, no, I'm not hyped. No, I don't think I'll like it, but I'm going to try to like it.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds like 2 hours wasn't a lot, but really 2 hours is a lot. There's a lot of games that I can play for 2 hours and I can tell if I'm going to like it or not.
Yeah.
But the reason why I'm going to give this another shot is because I'm going to go, okay, let me at least give me time to upgrade a little bit. If after I upgrade, I still feel the same way, I'm not going to change my opinion and I'm going to move on forever.
There you go.
But if I'm going to do that, I still think you should give Fallout 4 a legit shot.
Well, I did buy it, so I probably should.
I know. But to me, if you like a game like this, and I understand there is differences, you are going from planet to planet. It is much bigger.
It's so vast.
No Man's
like
Sky.
It's the kind of thing that takes your breath away when you realize how big it is. It's crazy.
Yeah. But I would say Fallout's probably a little bit more detailed as well. Especially, that's
totally,
one of the great things about Fallout.
Yeah.
Is when you play it, you're like, graphically, it's not that great. It's not ugly, but it's not great. But when you realize you can literally enter every single building.
Right, and they've each been designed for you to experience.
Exactly, you can go into every single room. You can go anywhere on the map. That's when you realize, oh, now I get why it's not the most beautiful game in the world. It's because it's so detailed and it's so big.
Well, and that reminds me of one thing I wanted to make sure I said in this, and that is I'm not blindly in love with this game. I love it a lot. It's the thing that's drawing me in to play any kind of game right now more than anything else. But there are certainly flaws with it. Like you described the visuals a little bit before. They can be hit or miss. There's a lot of pop-in as you're landing on a planet, which to me, it doesn't bother me because it almost feels like my eyes are adjusting from space into the atmosphere anyway. So I kind of, that doesn't bother me at all. But there are certainly some textures that leave a lot to be desired. But when you consider how the game is being generated, how the game is being built, again, I'm not trying to make excuses for it, but that for me personally, I'm able to kind of shrug off like, yeah, you're right. The ground and some of the flat textures aren't looking amazing, but the creatures and the plants look so unique and weird and funky that draws me in. And some of the menu systems can be a little clunky. They have kind of a Destiny feel to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not super intuitive. But again, once you kind of get used to how to move and stack items and how to shift them from your ship and back to your exosuit to carry with you, then it starts to become a little more fluid. So a lot of it is an adjustment. So I don't know if that's me making an excuse for some poor design in some areas or if it's me just getting used to what their systems are. I'm not 100% sure.
I felt comfortable with it in the beginning because of Destiny.
Didn't it feel like Destiny a little bit?
Destiny.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you just scroll over it with the right stick.
It's like a mouse cursor that you move around.
Yeah.
So that part didn't bother me too much. But there's a few other weaknesses, too. And one of the biggest ones is the number of reused assets that I've noticed. Now, I've been to, I think, 4 different galaxies, maybe. And a lot of the planets have a lot of unique things about them. But because they are procedurally generated, there's a ton of things that are familiar. So I have already found a ton of creatures that are totally different from each other. I found things that look like dogs that have antlers and can fly, and things that look like a swordfish that has a mushroom on its back. Like, I've found a ton of weird and cool, bizarre creatures, and I've loved it. I found a giant dinosaur that had spikes all over its back, and it was just standing there over my ship. I took a picture of it, too, that I'll probably share with the group. It looks so cool. But then there has been planet after planet that there's been a selection of creatures and animals that look exactly the same and with one minor detail swapped. So you can tell there is a certain amount of procedurally generated repetition going on where technically they're different. Like maybe their nose is a slightly different color or their feet are much bigger than the others, but otherwise they look identical. So a lot of this not being specifically designed for, hey, this planet right here is going to have this type of tree, this type of creature. Since there wasn't a person who designed that specifically, it definitely runs into a lot of repetition. And so that doesn't surprise me at all that your first few planets look similar. I would be shocked if you keep hitting the same looking planet. The coloring, the color palette will change. Some places will be like giant sandstorms and some will be mostly oceans and you have to swim a lot. So there are a lot of variations. But the unfortunate thing is you can't be you can't be promised that your galaxy that you start in or that you travel to next will be totally different. So that's a big weakness of the game, I suppose, when it comes to the gameplay experience. It can make you feel like, wow, they really are using the same things over and over. Because in a way, they are. So yeah. that is definitely one weakness of the game that I've had to kind of skirt past, you know, in the back of my mind. Like, yeah, I've seen this same-looking tree before, but it's telling me it's a new type of tree. Okay, you know. So, anyway, those are some of the major negatives. There's some visual things, although overall I love the pastel kind of painting dreamlike look of the place. And I for the most part, think everything looks good, but it's not the most amazing-looking thing ever. So.
All right, so I'll give it another shot. You're going to play Fallout 4 and give it a real shot, not your little 30-minute bull crap. And then we'll reconvene and figure out which game's actually
good. When are we doing this? Because I got to get some more No Man's Sky time in before I shift away to a similar
game. Oh, we don't have
to
do it right away. But I would say it's got to happen before Deus Ex. At least start Fallout 4. All right. See if you like it.
I can do that. I am still planning on finishing Watch Dogs, but other than that, I don't have a ton of major plans for the most part until Final Fantasy 15, Mafia 3, until some of these games.
Ooh, I have news on Final Fantasy 15. Now, it hasn't been confirmed by Square Enix, and the only reason why I'm saying this, because I know this has been going on for over a day now, so it's not like I just discovered it, but there's just, on the Final Fantasy 15 Facebook page, they literally just posted that this isn't a statement from Square, but it was like proof from like a display changing the date.
No.
So it's more evidence, not just that Gamenesia report, but it's more evidence that it's now been delayed till November 29th.
I thought that had been debunked already. I thought that was already debunked and officially spoken against.
No, I think the Gamenesia was the one that first came out, and people were like, well, it's not confirmed. Wait until Square says something. And then from what I'm seeing, this was just posted 24 minutes ago, unless it's just a repost. And it's from the Final Fantasy 15 Facebook page. I don't know if it's an official one. But they basically, I mean, it says at Final Fantasy 15, so it looks like, I don't know. But anyways, it looks like it is headed to November,
which is not too big of a deal. The only major November releases that I'm excited about. I think now I'm starting to get more excited for Watch Dogs 2, assuming that that's going to be a much better version of what I'm playing now.
I think it's
good. But I'm also, my kids and I, as I talked about before, are going to be playing Pokemon Sun and Moon in November. But other than that, most
Dishonored
of the stuff... Yeah, but I won't get to that right away. I already know that. I won't get to that right away.
You never played the first one.
I didn't finish the first one. I only played probably 10 hours of that, 12 hours of that maybe. And I liked it a lot, but yeah. I played it so late that it all kind of looked real last gen to me. So as much as I was enjoying it, I was just kind of like, yeah, I would rather play something else. So I did like it a lot. But Dishonored 2 I will not get to right away. I know that. So
then you suck.
Final Fantasy 15 moving back isn't the biggest deal, although I was kind of looking forward to it. Was technically going to be an October game based on the release date. So I was looking forward to it, but that opens up more space for me to meet your challenge of Fallout 4. So
yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah.
So speaking of fall games, our actual topic, our main topic of this week,
which is basically our closing thoughts.
It has to be.
Yeah.
No big deal. No Man's Sky went a little bit longer, but that's cool.
But it's the it's what everyone's talking about right now. Whether they haven't played it and are like, I don't want to play this. This looks awful. Or they have played it, like you, and don't like it. Or they love it. So people are kind of on this topic right now, I think.
Well, before we go into the main topic, I didn't even say this, so I was way too kind. No Man's Sky is trash, garbage, trash. It's for DFC gamers.
Oh, my
gosh. And I'll give it a chance, but I know it's garbage. But I didn't get a chance to say that. I should have said it. I was way too nice. I was actually listening.
You were being very kind. Yeah.
Oh, Tim's making good points.
I was waiting for every positive thing I said to hear you laughing hysterically in the background as I was talking about how great it is.
Let me clear this up, though.
This is not a game that I think would be for every kind of casual gamer, because the controls, the inventory system, learning the game mechanics itself, it does not explain a lot to you. Like, you have to go out and explore and figure it out. So it is not for everybody. Like, if you need to be guided.
It seems like it's going to be a 7.0 type game. Like, I went on Metacritic just to see if reviews have finally started popping up. And right now on the PlayStation 4, it is a 7.
Yeah.
And it's real mixed. Like, some people are giving it 9s, meaning they're really in love with it, and then some people are giving it 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I still need to spend a lot more time with it before I could even give it a ballpark score. But I will say this. What I've played so far, it's on my short list for my favorite games of the year, personally. Okay. So I do like it a lot. All right, so let's talk about... this is your idea. I like this idea. Talking about which system has the best, and I think what you mean by this is exclusive holiday, fall holiday lineup. So let's talk about...
We're not talking about like Final Fantasy 15 right. or anything
Mafia
like that. Mafia
3.
We're talking about exclusive games to the Xbox. Now, they can be on PC as well, because we all know most Xbox games are on PC, but even
and a lot of
one
PS4
of the PlayStation games.
Are too. Games
Yeah. yeah, some of the PS4 games are on PC as well. Yeah. So.
All right, so let's get into it. Let's talk about Xbox first.
All right, so Xbox, the big games that I wrote down that are coming are ReCore, September 13th. Forza Horizon 3 is coming September 27th. So that's two pretty nice-sized games coming out in September. And then the big one for me is Gears of War 4, October 11th. Hmm. And then, and I wouldn't be surprised if this gets delayed, because I'm not seeing much press for this. Dead Rising 4 is coming out December 6th.
On PS4?
No, it's Xbox One exclusive.
Oh, I thought Dead Rising games were coming to PS4 now. Maybe that was just
well,
the old
Dead Rising 2 and 1, 2, and I don't think it's 3. I think it's just 1 and 2 are coming out on PS4 and
okay.
Xbox One.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah, that's coming out in September. But Dead Rising 4 for right now, and maybe later, maybe a year later, you'll see it on the PS4. It's Xbox One.
Okay.
PlayStation, we have Darkest Dungeon. I know that's kind of a smaller title. It came out on PC first.
Yeah.
But I would consider it like a ReCore type of game. A lot of people are excited for it. So I put that on there. Definitely got to mention, when you're including lineups, PlayStation VR. Because that comes with not only new hardware, but it has a lot of new software that goes with it. So it's a big fall release.
Right.
The Last Guardian comes October 25th.
Mm.
Gran Turismo Sport comes November 15th. And then Gravity Rush 2 is releasing December 2nd. Now, I read those first two first because it's Nintendo who is absolutely killing it. And I don't even know how this is even a question. I think the answer for both of us has to be Nintendo. Nintendo in the fall for the Wii U is releasing.
Yeah.
Are you ready? I got to read all these.
Oh, man. All right. Let me get it. I'll get a drink while you do this.
Yeah, Paper Mario Color Splash.
And?
That's it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's it. There's some 3DS games, but again, I wasn't going to bother that. I really wanted to focus on Xbox One.
Yeah, the main home console, sure.
Versus Wii U, and...
Nintendo.
So we can throw the Wii U out. It has one game. The one game seems kind of cool. I'm not excited for it. I don't really care for Paper Mario games.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if I'm going to get it. Maybe as it gets closer,
I might care
about it. But it's also releasing on a terrible day, because it's releasing when Mafia 3 comes out, and it's releasing the day I'll get Gears of War 4, because it releases early for certain people.
Gotcha.
So that would be pointless. So I'm throwing Nintendo out.
If Wikipedia is to be believed, then even multi-platform games that are coming to the Wii U are limited to Shantae, the Half-Genie Hero, which is a continuation of that. It's a pretty fun little platforming series. It's not amazing. And then Just Dance 2017. So, if Wikipedia list here is to be believed, those are the only other ones besides Paper Mario Color Splash coming to the Wii U this fall.
So terrible.
Even
be excited,
multi-platform.
Guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Be excited. Please understand.
All right, so let me just give you my quick reactions to the two lists. The first one... ReCore for the Xbox, that might actually be something. Now that Final Fantasy 15 is indeed moved back, I could see myself throwing $40 at ReCore and jumping into that one. Not going to buy Forza Horizon 3, especially not right away. Not going to buy Gears of War 4.
That bad boy.
And not going to buy Dead Rising 4. So the
Hold on.
Yeah.
Now, I was polite with No Man's Sky. Yeah. Now it's time to not be polite anymore. You're not going to buy Gears of War 4.
Not right away, no.
Worst.
I am the worst. I'll acknowledge that. But no, my hype level for that is pretty much zilch. Ugh. But dude, keep in mind, I've only played a little bit of the first Gears of War game, and that's
you
it.
Have it.
I do have it.
You have it. and you're replaying Ori. Stop replaying Ori. Forget your kids. You know what? Tell all five of them to go in the room right now and put the Ultimate Edition on.
Boy. They're all in bed right now.
I don't care. Yeah. Tell them to go to the bed again.
All
right. It's a 10-hour game, and it's epic. It's freaking amazing.
Let me give you my reactions to the PlayStation list real quick, and then you tell me what you think about both of them. And Nintendo, okay. I'm still not buying a Wii U until it goes way down in price.
So, from what I read, you really only care about ReCore, right?
I really only care about ReCore on the Xbox, okay. Based on just that exclusive list right there.
Yeah.
And for the PlayStation, don't care about Darkest Dungeon, don't care about PSVR. I'm curious, but I don't really care about it right now. The Last Guardian, I'm getting excited about that.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo Sport, nope. Gravity Rush 2, nope. So,
all right, so you only care about one game.
One exclusive game for each console. And when it comes to multi-platform games.
Do you know what Darkest Dungeon is? Because I think that would be your type of game.
I do, and I've heard a lot about it. And it's another one that I'm like, yeah, that looks really cool. I could try that out when it comes to PlayStation Plus for free 1 month. So,
yeah.
And it might not. That might be a dumb thing to assume, but I'm not interested.
Or just wait for Derek to buy it.
Or when it drops in price. Like, it's just not something I need right out of the gate. So, yeah, Last Guardian. ReCore. So for me personally, if you were to ask me which system has the biggest or best holiday lineup for this fall between these two systems, I would give the slight edge to PlayStation because I do think Last Guardian is going to be a better game than ReCore. But I don't think it's that much better than Xbox this fall, personally. If I looked at it objectively, just looking at those two lists, I think the Xbox has the edge overall. If you think of the major games coming out, Forza Horizon 3, Gears of War 4, Dead Rising 4, assuming it's still going to arrive in December, a much better lineup than Last Guardian, Gran Turismo Sport, and Gravity Rush 2. So between the two, I think Xbox objectively has the better list. For me personally, I'm more excited for PlayStation. What about you?
Yeah. Same. I mean, objectively, I definitely agree. I think the Xbox One has the better games. I obviously am excited for VR, but I'm still like, okay. Like, even now, I'm like, what games are coming out?
Right.
Like, if they had, like, one game that I was like, I have to have that.
Yeah.
Then I would probably lean more towards the PS4. But let me go through them. ReCore, I'm interested in, but I'm not sold on it because I have no idea if it's quality or not. Forza Horizon 3 is, well, it's a Horizon game that I really like those games. So I'm really excited about that one. Gears of War 4, I've already said in other podcasts, is the game I'm most excited for. So obviously I'm real hyped for that. And then Dead Rising 4, I'm a big fan of Dead Rising 3. 2 was okay, the first one was okay too, but I really liked the third one. It released at the launch, and that was one of the first games that I beat on our next-gen systems. In fact, it may have been the first one I beat.
Nice.
So I really enjoyed that one, so I'm looking forward to 4. So that being said, all those games to me are quality, and objectively, that's the best lineup.
Yep.
Subjectively, I would even agree with the objective opinion. And I think I personally am more excited for everything Xbox has to offer.
Yeah.
And that's how it's been.
Last year was the same way for most people.
Exactly. Yeah. This entire generation, I've been more excited for the
Xbox Rise of the Tomb Raider by itself just took the cake for most people since it was an exclusive. But
Which, by the way, I know some people are going to be, but Rise of the Tomb Raider is coming out. And yes, it is.
We're not counting re-releases
in
this.
Yeah, it was already on the Xbox, so I'm not.
Technically,
really that
you can count that now as a multi-platform game, so that's why it's not on the list. So
I would say Xbox definitely has the best.
I agree. So you Xbox One gamers in our group, you'll be excited to hear that we think Xbox has the better exclusive lineup this fall. That being said, I spend most of my time on the PS4 because that's where a lot of my friends are. I do spend good time on Xbox One, but most on the PS4. So that's where I'll be getting my third-party games. Mafia 3, things like that. So.
Yep.
All right.
I love my PS4, but the Xbox One's where it's at.
Well, thank you guys for listening.
This week.
Thanks for listening to me rant about No Man's Sky, listening to Derek rant about No Man's Sky, kind of. Just thanks for listening to our show. I appreciate the support that you guys provide to us and the feedback. We do have some interesting things in mind and kind of in the works for this fall, including a few guests that might join us on the show, maybe shifting over to a video format, hopefully at some point, where we can actually see the disappointment in each other's eyes as we talk.
And the Topless Tuesdays.
Topless Tuesdays, yeah, of course. Yeah, you guys look forward to that. So we do have some things that we're planning. We do want the show to keep kind of evolving and growing. I don't want it to become stagnant. You know, same thing every week, same thoughts every week. So we do want to expand a little bit. So I'm open to your suggestions and thoughts. But just so you guys know who are listening, we are planning on keeping this thing going. So thanks again for your support. And, yeah, appreciate you guys listening. Enjoy your week.
Yeah, and give us, real quick before we go, give us feedback on which lineup you prefer.
Yeah, I'd love that'd be great.
I'm really interested in seeing what, because I know there's a lot of people that are diehard PlayStation fans, so they might be immediately drawn to those games more than Xbox, but I'd like to hear.
Yeah, we can put that, I can put that in the show notes, and when we post this on Monday, we can have everyone throw their thoughts on there. Cool. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Peace.
All right, man.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Who is your daddy?
Don't. Is that pretty good?
Yeah, that's really good.
If I could see you right now, what face are you making?
I'm angry right now.